And we're going to begin reading this morning verse number 25. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke chapter 2, begin reading at verse number 25. Let's stand, of course, as we honor the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin reading this morning at verse number 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him that by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Brother Tony Wilson, would you pray for the message this morning?
Lord God, we just come to you and thank you for this.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Thank you for the reading of your praise this morning. Father, we just pray now for service this morning. Lord God, we just ask now.
Yes.
We just bring them again. Just fill them with the Spirit, Lord God. Just stand behind us.
Please, Lord.
Yes. Lord God, bless you physically, spiritually, and most of the Lord throughout this service.
Yeah, I will.
Lord God, let us just have ears here. Lord, just soften our hearts. What's going to be said, Lord God? Father, just thank you for this church. Lord,
yes.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. I do want you to notice the text that we just read. We read here in the Bible about a man by the name of Simeon. And the Bible says that this man was a just and a devout man. The Bible says that Simeon had the Holy Ghost upon him. The Bible says that the Lord revealed to Simeon that he was not going to die until he saw the magnificent, wonderful virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Mary and Joseph brought the child Jesus into the temple, and Simeon held the babe Jesus, our Lord, in his arms. But then he says in verse number 29, he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Verse 30, my eyes have seen thy salvation. Basically what he's saying, Lord, I've seen the Messiah. I've seen salvation. I'm ready to die. Let me die. Let me tell you where Simeon was. He was at the point where he said, there ain't nothing left for me to see or do. I have seen and done what I wanted to see and do. I've held the babe, the Lord Jesus Christ, in my arms. Now, Lord, I can die. And what, thinking about that scripture, I want to come from my heart this morning. What I'm going to do in preaching this morning is I'm going to share a little bit of myself with you. My personal goals, my personal attitude toward what I want before I die. What I want to do is I want to share with you personally this morning my spiritual bucket list. And matter of fact, in 2007, a movie came out, and the title of that movie was The Bucket List. It starred a fellow by the name of Jack Nicholson and another fellow named Morgan Freeman. You probably know these actors. I did not see that movie. But I do understand that that movie was about two men, and both of these men were terminally ill with cancer. And because they were terminally ill with cancer, they go on a road trip with a bucket list. Now, a bucket list is things that you want to do before you kick the bucket. And you know what kick the bucket means? Buy the farm, whatever you however you want to put it, dead. And I got to thinking about that. Now listen, if people have a bucket list, like, you know, I want to jump out of a plane before I die. I want to ride a bull before I die, you know. I want to go to Talladega and drive around the racetrack before I die. Surely Christians ought to have a spiritual bucket list. You know, I got to thinking, here's Simeon. He said, look, the thing I wanted to do before I die was see the Messiah. The Lord told me I'd see him. I've seen him. Now I'm ready to die. I got to thinking, man, in your heart, do you have a spiritual bucket list? And I got to thinking, yes, I do. There's some things to me that I think is very important that a Christian ought to be able to have accomplished and have done before they put them in the ground. And he meets the Lord, or she meets the Lord Jesus Christ. I come up with seven of them. Some of these I've already accomplished. Some of them I haven't. Now, why am I sharing these with you this morning? I'm sharing these with you this morning because I think all seven of these things that I want to accomplish in my spiritual bucket list are scriptural. And I want to maybe stoke a fire up under you this morning that maybe you'll think about what you want to have accomplished, what you want to leave spiritually before you leave this mud ball we live on. And I hope to stir you up with that as I share some of these with you this morning. All right, I want to go over the seven things, my spiritual bucket list. What does Dennis Knows, what would Dennis Knows want to make sure? And hopefully this will stir you up to feel the same way. Maybe you want to add some to yours. What is it that I want to know about spiritually that I have done, I have accomplished, I have taken care of before I die and stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Number one. First thing is, I would want to know if I was a saved person that I had won a soul for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God I've got that scratched off. Thank God the Lord's allowed me to win some souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't have to quote all the verses to you this morning. You know the Great Commission found in the Gospels. You know Proverbs 11:30 that says, he that winneth souls is wise. You know it's the right thing to do. How can we live our lives as God's people and have the cure for eternal damnation and never tell a soul about it, never win a soul for the Lord? You know what? I would hate to know that I was a saved man or a saved woman and had lived 20 and 30 and 40 and even 50 years on this earth as a saved person and died and stood before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords at the judgment seat of Christ, and I had never led one person to the Lord. Now you talk some boy into joining up in your hunting lease with you. Woo! Maybe you went around and talked to somebody about purchasing a product with you, going in halves on something. Maybe you talk somebody into joining the lodge with you. But you didn't talk them into getting in that kingdom. Yeah, man. I know somebody's looking a little pale right now. I'd hate to know that I had died and I had ran my mouth all my life to get people to do everything but come to Jesus Christ. That's exactly right. I'd want to win a soul. Some of you in here, some of us in here, I'm no prolific soul winner. Brother Steve's pretty good at it. Some of the other ones in here that you've been able to sit down and lead somebody to a personal saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it don't get any better than that, does it? It's wonderful. And there's no excuse here at this church. We had soul winning lessons for several Sunday nights here. We've got them on CD if you missed it and want them. We've got free gospel tracts back in the media room. You have a King James Bible. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've got the Holy Ghost in your heart. You don't need no more 12-week study programs or whatever. You just need to get up and go. And I just personally would think, and for myself, and you should too, it'd be very, very sad to live my entire life and die and stand before God, and you've never won one soul for the Lord. That's real sad. That's real sad. And that'd be number one on my bucket list. Number two, before I die, I'd want to know that I'd read through my Bible. How many of us in here, boy, this is the King James Bible-believing church. Amen?
Amen?
We believe we have a perfect book. Would you say amen?
Amen?
Do you know that most Christians don't believe that? Do you know that most people that have professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ do not believe that we have a perfect book? They believe we have accurate translations, but they believe all of them have errors in it, and only the original Greek and the Hebrew was perfect. We believe we have a perfect book. Most Christians don't. Then why haven't you read that book?
Amen.
You profess that you have a perfect book. Most of the body of Christ does not believe that. Why is there people sitting in this congregation right here? You say you've been saved 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years and you have never, ever read your Bible. Now I want you to think about something here. Everybody stay with me and listen to me this morning. I want you to think of all the people that have been in prison, that have been tortured, that have been killed, so you and I can have this book here this morning. You think of what they went through, and you and I have, all we got to do is just open it up and read it. We're not sneaking around trying to read it. We're not trying to hide from the government. We're not worried about our neighbor turning us into the law. Turn off that stupid television. Don't have to always be doing something. Why can't you just sit down and read that book? It's God's perfect word. Sometimes we Bible believers get accused of worshiping the Bible. I don't worship the Bible. I worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I just know this. I know this Bible I have right here is the closest thing you'll ever have or ever put your hands on to the Lord Jesus Christ, to God Himself. And people that say that, well, you just worship the Bible. No, you just don't love this book like you ought to. Listen to this. I believe with all my heart that if you die as a child of God and you've never read your Bible, you're going to be ashamed in the face of our Lord and in all the face of the martyrs standing there who watched their children thrown in the fire, who had their limbs torn apart, who were tortured and murdered and would not recant on their position on the Lord Jesus Christ and their position on this perfect book. And you and I have not suffered nothing for this book, nothing. Oh, well, they said something to me at Bible college about it, or my family don't like it that I'm a King James person, or they're talking about me around town. Oh, get over it. We haven't suffered nothing for our position on the Bible. And it is on my list, and thank God I've been able to do it by the grace of God. And it should be on your spiritual bucket list to read God's book before you meet Him. And you ought to read it several times if you can. Number three, at least one time in your life before you meet the Lord, you need to give till it hurts. Do you know that most Christians are going to live and die and never have reached down real deep? And I'm talking about money right now. Here's that preacher goes preaching on money again. Get over it.
Amen.
Listen, God has given us so much. We have everything. Do you realize how many people in this world have hardly nothing? I don't know about you, but everything I got, God gave me. That nice brick home that I got over there in Red Level, those three vehicles that I got over here, and one of them's here, and the other two in Red Level. Everything I got because Jesus Christ gave it to me. I wasn't raised in a rich family. I didn't have a lot of skills to go out and make money like some of you men in this church do. I was raised poor. I'm a dud with skills. I don't have any intellect. I don't have nothing. God gave that to me, and I can't reach in my pocket every once in a while and give back to Him. There's something wrong. There's something wrong. I'm telling you right now, when Jesus says it's better, it's more blessed to give than to receive, it is really the truth. Man, it feels good to reach down there and deny yourself of what you would want to help God out, to help His ministries out. It feels good to sacrificially give. And I tell you what to do, it will increase your faith if you'll do it, because you'll see God take care of you. He'll take care of you when you do it. Jesus gave it us his all, didn't he? Man, he went to the cross. He gave everything he had. Can't you, listen to me. Can't you at least one time, can't I? And I've been able to do that. One time I gave everything I had. I don't know how big of a sacrifice it was because I didn't have that much. But there was a time in my life, me and my wife gave everything we had, every penny. I'm not talking about that we had no CDs, no IRA, no savings, no nothing. We gave everything we had. Now, I'm not asking you to do that, and God's not asking you to do that, but can't you at least one time in your life before you die in gratitude to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and how he's blessed you and all that he's given you, one time in your life, give really big to a church, really big to a ministry, really big to a missionary, really big to a saint, just give to it hurts one time for God before you die. I'd hate to know that I stood before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when I die, the man who gave it all, and I had never really sacrificially given him nothing. Now, that's some things on my bucket list that I think is very important for a Christian to do. But thank God I've been able to do. Now, here's some more that may be yet to be seen. Number four on my spiritual bucket list before I die, or when I die, I'd like to know that I left a spiritual legacy. This is a spiritual bucket list legacy. I may not be able to leave my son Zachariah much money. And son, it probably won't be much. I may not be able to leave my grandchildren, if I'm still alive, to see any of them, anything much. I'll try, because that's biblical. I'll try. But I'll tell you one thing I can leave for you, son. I can leave for you something far more important. I can leave a godly spiritual legacy for you. That year, if the Lord tarries years after your daddy's in the ground, you can remember how your daddy raised you. Daddies, please, daddies, know my heart. I'm not jumping on you. You work hard, you break your back, you don't, for your family. And I know your wives appreciate it. You wives, you better. I know your children do. Your children better. But I'm telling you, daddy, something. The devil's got you thinking that my thing is, no matter what I got to do, no matter how much I'm absent from my family, I've got to make a living, got to make a living, got to make a living. And when you die, what little bit you collect and leave your child will do nothing for that child. And what your child needs is for you to leave them a spiritual legacy. And if you're gone all the time, you can't do it. I'm not jumping on anybody this morning. I'm preaching from my heart. But you can't leave them a spiritual legacy if you're never around. You can't do it. You just can't do it. I think Brother Dow in Brother Tom's church, many of you know Brother Dow. He raised, how many girls was it, four? All of these girls raised in a public school in Houston, a liberal school system. And they all grew up, went to a good Christian college, graduated. They're all godly girls living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've talked to him about how he did a good job and how his girls are doing good and how wonderful they're doing. And all. And you know what he said? He said, yeah. He said, but that ain't the true test. He said, the true test is going to be when they have children. How will they turn out? What kind of legacy? The true legacy is going to be not just one generation, but two or three generations. We have to be thinking about these two or three generations down the line. I don't want us to get in our family, in our church, in this community over there like they did when Joshua and Caleb's gone. And they say there's another generation that come up and they didn't know the Lord and His works and what He had done. And that's where we're heading to. It's coming up soon. Will anybody be influenced or be helped spiritually because of you after you're dead and gone? Listen, will you have a spiritual legacy that you can leave? Listen to me, folks. Please listen to me. Will your children, after you're dead and gone, have any stories about mama on her knees, seeing her cry out and praying for you at night? Will they have any stories about, I remember when daddy told me about Jesus? Will they have any stories about, I remember us sitting around the table as a family reading God's word? Will they have any stories about that time grandpa took me to church? Will they have any stories about you like that? Will you leave any godly legacy? I tell you what, that's on my spiritual bucket list. You may, oh, he's just a crazy old fat preacher and he didn't have nothing and didn't have enough sense of getting out of the rain. That may be true, but I want to know when I die. I've left a spiritual legacy. The next thing on my spiritual bucket list is I like to know that I've done at least one great thing for God. Now, I know we have out in the secular world what we call one-hit wonders. That's these rock groups or country groups, and they get one hit, one top 10 or one big smash, and put out three or four records or albums. They never have another record or album that's ever even popular. That's not what I'm saying. I believe we ought to do a lot of things for the Lord. I believe we ought to live in a lot of ways for the Lord. But you know what? I would hope that there's one outstanding, great spiritual accomplishment that maybe I'm known for before I die and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be this church. It may be that when I'm dead and gone, people say, "Boy, you remember Brother Dennis? Boy, he was all right. He had his problems. But boy, him when he pastored Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, man, those were the glory days." Well, I remember we used to be in that old church and we built that building. We used to shout the victory and Brother Dennis would preach his heart out and people was getting saved. That may be my one big thing. I'm completely satisfied with that. But I want to know that I have contributed at least one big thing to society before I leave. That's on my bucket list. You think about this. John Newton, I don't know how many songs he wrote. I don't know what all he did, but he's known for one big thing. He wrote Amazing Grace. Jonathan Edwards probably preached hundreds and thousands of great sermons, but he's known as preaching the greatest and most popular sermon ever, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I think about Jack Hiles. Brother Jack Hiles, pastor, I don't know, a few churches before he ever knew that Hamden, Indiana existed. But Jack Hiles is not known for those churches. He's known for one church. Jack Hiles is known for First Baptist, Hamden, Indiana, that boasted for many years the largest Sunday school in the world. One great thing. Do you catch that vision a little bit? Wouldn't you like, I mean, you want to do several things for God before you die, don't you? But wouldn't you like to be known for one great thing before you die? Just, hey, I did some things for the Lord and God knew my heart and all. But I tell you this one thing, there was at least one time in my life that God really used me that I left it here that got something done for him and people, and it's going on right now. Listen, they're playing tapes by preachers that have been dead 25 and 30 years. They're still playing their recorded sermons after they've been dead for 25 and 30 years on the radio. And people are getting help. And people are getting saved. Listen to that. I don't know about you, but I still want to be doing something long after I'm dead and gone by leaving a legacy, of course. But maybe I've done one big thing for the Lord. Well, I hope you get that vision. I hope you get that vision. A couple of more things on my spiritual bucket list. I want to get victory over my besetting sin. I do not want to die and face God and have any sin in my life that's controlling me. Now, I didn't say I don't want to die. I mean, I would like to die not sinning, but we know we all sin. We know the Bible says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We all sin. But I'm talking about being controlled by sin. I'm talking about a habitual sin. I don't want to die and have that besetting sin hanging over my head. I don't think I have to tell you what mine is. It's different for everybody. Mine is food. Some of you have heard me say this, and I mean it. I don't want to die fat. And listen, I know it's humorous, and I know it's funny, but I'm being real serious right now. Would you please? I'm not going to preach many more minutes, but don't lose me. Please, everybody, don't flip through your stuff. I'm giving you my heart today. Now, you respect that, and you look at me, and you listen to me this morning, okay? Don't worry about the time. Time don't matter. The fact that I would choose food over my blessed Savior repulses me. After he denied everything about himself to go to that cross to save a wicked, no good for nothing sinner like this fellow right here. I'm not preaching about you. I'm talking about this sinner. And I don't want to be surrendered to nothing when I die but my Lord. And I don't know what it is for you. I don't want to die and face my Lord knowing that something as stupid as food, when God says man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, something as stupid as food got more allegiance, more time, more money, and more desire and more emotion out of me than my blessed Savior. I don't want to die and it be said his God was his belly. It may not be food for you at all. It may be cigarettes. It may be snuff. It may be liquor. It may be your bad temper. It may be your lustful heart. I don't know what it is, but I'd like to know that I knew that that thing that had the worst grip on me before I died, I had the victory. I had the victory. And I have one more this morning. One more on my spiritual bucket list. This one means really a lot to me. Before I die, on my spiritual bucket list, I'd like to know that I died without having really messed up. I'm not talking about sinning. I'm not talking about saying something you shouldn't say. I'm going to do that or doing something you shouldn't have. I'm talking about really messing up. And I'm not talking about my past. Listen, from this day forward, there's not one thing I can do about my past, all right? I can't change it. I wish I could, but it's over. It ain't nothing. I've got it under the blood, and that's where it's going to stay. And that's where you need to put yours. But folks, let me tell you something. I read about David. I read about Solomon. I read about those great men in the Bible. I read about Samson and all of them. Folks, I don't want to blow it before I die. I'd rather be a nominal Christian. Listen to me. I'd rather be a nominal Christian pastoring a small church with just a handful of people and hardly nobody in this world know me. Now, I'm telling you now, I mean this. Then get a real big, huge church, be all over the radio, all over the TV, and drop the ball and walk out on my wife or embezzle some funds or do something stupid. And I've got flesh in me just like anybody else, and I'm capable of it. If I don't walk filled with the Holy Ghost every day, I'm capable of doing that as much as anybody in this world, and you are too. And I tell you, one of my spiritual goals on my spiritual bucket list is to get out of this world without really messing up. I think of all the preachers that since I've been in the ministry for about 20 years has left their wife, committed adultery, they compromised, stopped preaching the Bible, they got back on drugs and liquor, they just went out and just blew their testimony. Can you imagine all the people that I would hurt if I did that? And can you imagine all the people you will hurt if you do that? That's my spiritual bucket list. I hope that you share all these with me. God may be speaking to your heart about some extras. But if you're sitting here this morning and you're saved and the Spirit of God lives within you, you ought to be thinking about some things that you want to have accomplished, you want to have done, you want to have settled before you stand before your Savior, because once you're dead and gone, it's over. Now, in that movie, supposedly those men did that physical bucket list because they were terminally ill. They were going to die. But the truth is, you and I could die anytime. We could die today. So if you're going to have a spiritual list that you want done before you meet your Savior, and you will meet Him, you better get started right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Even now, if God's spoken to your heart, would you come this morning? Don't wait. Don't wait for the piano. Don't wait for nothing. Just get up and pray. Just get up and pray.